is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Saint Colette.
There they are. That's the Princess of Orange weeping into her lace handkerchief. There's the Duchess of Nevers. There's the Duke of Burgundy talking to Amadeus of Savoy. There's Blanche of Geneva with the Duchess of Bourbon. All come to Flanders, all gathered here at the convent of Poor Clares at Ghent, because a carpenter's daughter died last night. I am Sister Perrine, friend and helper to Mother Colette during the latter years of her religious life. Or was there ever a day when her life was not purely religious? She was born in Picardy, near the Abbey of Corbie, where her father was the carpenter, and where the abbot of Corbie baptized her.
Have you chosen a name for the little girl?
Oh, yes, Father. We want to call her Nicolette in honor of the good Saint Nicholas of Myra. Father, my husband is troubled.
His work at the Abbey is more than satisfactory. Why is the good man troubled?
Oh, it's not the work, Father. It's Nicolette.
Troubled about such a good child?
It's because she's so small, Father. A child of 7 and she's so small.
Her health is good?
Oh, yes, Father.
She eats well?
Oh, yes, Father.
Sleeps well?
Yes.
Tell Nicolette to pray to the good God to give her body a few inches. Colette's first communion is tomorrow, is it not?
Yes, Father.
She has grown taller, hasn't she?
Oh, her prayers were answered, Father. Though she's still a tiny thing.
Well, I fancy she'll always be that. But when is she coming to school?
Oh, Father, we're afraid to let her go to school.
Oh?
Well, you know the child is pretty, Father.
That's true.
When she used to go to the village, every head turned toward her. It made her so unhappy, Father, the way people stared. She prayed to the good Lord to make her ugly.
She has the face and form God gave her.
Oh, any other girl would be glad, but Colette is not like other children. She stays at home. She tries to do all the housework. Oh, she's a great comfort to us. And when she's not at work, she prays in her room.
Can that be why she's so thin and pale?
Well, it's by her own choosing, Father. Since God did not please to change her face as she asked him to, she has fasted and kept long vigils. But we see the hand of God in this, Father.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I should prefer to have Colette in school. Still, you and your husband may be right. Let the child do as she wishes.
Oh, she will anyway, Father.
Oh?
Oh, such a strong will in such a tiny body, Father. You've never known. Only the love of God sustains such a will. Of that I am sure.
Well, you may be right. We shall see.
Good of you to come, Father.
I've arranged the mass at the Abbey for your husband.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. It will not be too long before I join him at the throne of heaven.
When God decides.
Then will you take care of Colette, Father?
At the Abbey, you mean?
It's the only home she knows, Father, besides this house. And you have been the only other one close to her. Except her parents.
How old is Colette?
17, Father. Oh, she's a good girl. Good and sweet. And she loves God with her whole soul. Will you take care of her, Father? When I'm gone.
I will take care of her at the Abbey. I give you my promise. Colette.
Yes, Father.
Today's your birthday. You're 18.
Yes, Father.
It is my duty to turn over to you your inheritance.
My inheritance? I didn't know I had one.
Well, it's not much. You will not be a rich woman.
I've no wish to be a rich woman, Father.
Still, the money from your father and mother is yours to do with as you wish.
Oh. I know what I wish to do with it.
Well, you've not had time to think about it. It's enough for a modest dowry.
But I know. I want to give it to the poor.
I said you would have nothing.
It's what St. Francis would have done.
Well, I can't deny that. It's what he did do.
Well, then, that's all settled.
You can take time to think it over.
Oh, there's no need. I already know. And there's something else.
Your mother said you had a strong will. Yes. What else?
I should like to join the Franciscan Third Order.
Become a tertiary?
Yes, Father.
Have you discussed this with your spiritual advisor?
Father Henri de Beaume approves, Father.
You would embrace the life of St. Francis, would you, Colette?
It is the most beautiful life since the life of Jesus, I think.
You cannot stay forever at the Abbey, you know.
I know.
You have not said you wish to marry.
I do not wish to marry.
Well, many tertiaries are married and live at home.
I know.
The Third Order permits it.
Yes, I know.
But this is not what you want for yourself.
No, Father.
Do you know what you do want, Colette?
I want for myself what God wants for me. But he has not yet told me what that is.
I see. Colette, I have thus far let you seek your own way, interfering as little as I could, even as your parents did. But you know little or nothing of the world, Colette. Sheltered first by your parents at home, then by us here at the Abbey, how could you know the world? Do you understand?
I think so, Father.
The Turks are advancing against Christendom in the East, Colette. The papacy is split between Rome and Avignon. People are confused. Who can blame them? There are false prophets springing up here and there, some claiming to be the Messiah. Now and again we hear of one who says that he is God himself.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Now, do you see why I cannot let a girl of 18 who has renounced her inheritance, who refuses to marry, do you see why I cannot allow her to go forth unattended in such a world?
Yes, Father.
There is a little hermitage at the end of our garden. Would you like to live there while you wait for God to make known his plan for you?
Oh, yes, Father. Yes.
I think perhaps you would like to be alone for a little while. Am I right?
Oh, yes.
Yet you will be where Father Henri de Beaume and I can keep some sort of watch over you.
I like being alone, Father. I am accustomed to it, and I like it.
Then I think the hermitage at the end of the garden is the place for you. You will be alone, and yet you can have what visitors you like. Is that satisfactory?
Oh, yes, Father. Thank you.
Thank you. Father Henri de Beaume, come in, come in.
Praises to God, Father.
May he be forever praised. Sit down.
Thank you, Father.
Now tell me, how is our little solitary at the end of the garden?
She is well, Father, but hardly solitary. She's becoming famous.
Ah, that child has had a way of drawing people to her ever since I can remember.
Well, it is just that she is so devout. Her dedication to God is so complete. Everyone feels it. The word spreads and people flock to her. There have been stories of miracles. Oh, she makes no claim, none at all. It is the others who tell me.
There are many of these others?
They come from miles around, Father, for her blessing, for comfort, consolation, and for advice sometimes, too.
Which she is able to supply?
It would seem so, Father. They go away happier, more confident, reassured, and so I believe better Christians.
So, the world finds its way to the door of the little recluse who wished to avoid it.
Yes, Father.
Then she is learning something of its ways without venturing into it.
It can't be avoided, Father.
Nor should it be. It is inevitable. You are her confessor. She sees you regularly, does she?
Oh, yes.
And receives communion?
Yes, Father.
Then I think we can do no better than to let her remain as she is.
Wherever she is, Father, God cannot be far away. I had a long talk with the abbot this morning, Colette. About you.
He's not displeased with me.
Now, why should he be displeased with you?
I don't know. Oh, Father, I've been troubled.
For how long, Colette?
I forget. I've been uneasy. Father de Beaume, I had a vision. It was last week. Yes, it's since then that I've had this uneasiness.
You are sure it was a vision, Colette?
It might have been a dream. No. No, why do I say that? It was a vision. I saw him. I saw him standing there in his patched robe. It was in the forest, in a grove of pine trees. I saw him.
Who, Colette?
There was a bright yellow bird on his shoulder, and a chipmunk was eating from his hand, and a golden light shone all around
him.
Who
was it, Colette?
Our seraphic father, St. Francis himself. He said...
Yes, Colette, go on. Go on, what are you trying to say, child? Tell me, Colette, what is it? Did St. Francis speak to you, child? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Now, do not try so hard. We will wait quietly, and then you will tell me. Colette, can you hear me? Can you hear me, child? You can't. You can't hear me at all. You can't speak, can you? You can't speak at all. Colette? Oh, don't be startled, child. It's I. I came to see if you're better today. Now, you were telling me your vision of the blessed St. Francis, remember? And then all at once you stopped speaking. Remember? Oh, can you not understand me, Colette? I'm trying to help you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Colette? Now, do not cry, child. I will come back tomorrow. Colette, it is only I. Father Henri de Beaume, do not be afraid. Try to speak one word, Colette. Can you not tell by my face what I am asking you to do? Try to speak, Colette. Try to tell me what it is that has stricken you this way. Try, Colette. Heavenly Father, look down upon this young girl in thy infinite mercy. Look deep into her heart. You will find it pure and filled to bursting with love of thee. Consider her affliction and do for her what will best serve thy great purpose. For she lives only to do thy will.
Father Henri de Baume.
Colette.
I must tell you, Father, what St. Francis said to
me. Yes, tell me, Colette.
He told me that I was to travel, Father, to travel to all the convents of the poor Clares. Yes, that is what he said.
The poor Clares.
Oh, Father Henri, the convents have fallen into wicked ways. I know that. The nuns do not live according to the rule of St. Clare. They have become careless and self-indulgent. It is wrong, Father Henri. And St. Francis is troubled and he wants me. Oh, Father Henri.
Yes, Colette.
That is why I could not hear you suddenly. All those 3 days I could see your lips move. I saw your kind face so anxious for me and your eyes filling with tears.
I was anxious.
I know. And I could do nothing to reassure you. I could not speak to tell you what I knew. That God had sent me this sign. My deafness. My muteness. To show me that I must do exactly as St. Francis had said.
Have I acted rightly, Father, or even wisely? I have prayed, Father, for guidance. Oh, I need it, Father. This young soul left for a time to my keeping. But so crucial a time, Father, when it could fall into the sin of pride, or could go on to greater glory in the Lord's service. Help me, Father, to do what's right.
I can try, my son. You say you have prayed?
Oh, yes, Father, every day, almost every hour.
And you've had no answer at all to your prayers.
Last night, Father, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw Colette. She was tending a vineyard where the vines had many leaves, but no fruit at all. But when Colette had pruned the vineyard, all the vines started to bear grapes until they were heavy with them.
Yes?
I took it to mean, Father, that Colette's vision was real. That St. Francis did indeed appear to her. And that she saw him and heard him speak, and that she heard him rightly. And that he bade her set out to bring reform to the convents of the poor Clares. That is my understanding of my dream, Father.
I have faith in your dream, brother. You must have faith in it, too. Colette must start out at once to visit as many convents of poor Clares as she can. And you, Father Henri, will go with her.
And so in the year 1406, Colette left the Abbey of Corbie and with Father Henri de Baume set out to visit the convents of the poor Clares. And so it was that her path crossed mine, for at that time I was a poor Clare, and it was I who admitted them to the convent where I was a nun.
Peace and God's grace unto you, Sister Perrine. I am Sister Colette, and this is Father Henri de Baume.
Oh, God give you grace, Father.
God be with you, Sister Perrine.
May we speak with the prioress, Sister?
She was barefoot, dressed in a habit made entirely of patches and bound with heavy rope. Her large eyes burned in a pale face. Her tiny feet were covered with cuts and scratches. Her thin little hands were those of a child as she ceaselessly caressed the rosary beads. When I had taken the two of them to the prioress, I hesitated before returning to my work, for I had a consuming desire to know what their errand was. I mastered my desire to eavesdrop and went back to my work in the laundry where I had been counting the sheets. When I found 6 of them torn beyond any hope of salvage, I confess I made it an excuse to return to where I had left the strange couple with Mother Prioress. And I stood just outside in the corridor. The door was open.
By what right, sister, do you come here to tell us our sins? By what right? Tell me that.
It is the wish of St. Francis himself, Mother Prioress.
You, not even a nun, no more than a member of the Third Order.
I have lived as a solitary, Mother Prioress. A life more austere, I promise you, than any poor Clare cloistered here.
Your self-imposed penances do not impress me, sister. We live here by the duly sanctioned rule of the Order. What you do is your own concern.
But our seraphic father himself appeared to me. He urged this task upon me. The order of poor Clares has grown careless. Yes, even corrupt in some places. I see no poverty here. I see no humility here. I see no self-denial.
You see. You claim to have seen a great deal for one who has lived in seclusion. This habit of yours made of rags and patches, very ingenious. Who made it for you?
Mother Prioress.
I have seen such habits worn by vagrants. They straggle along the roads crying, "Bread, for God's sakes!" Well, they are vagabonds at best and sorcerers at worst. They own nothing. Free love is what they preach, and free love is what they practice.
I am none of those things, Mother Prioress, and I preach none of those things. St. Francis has told me...
In a vision?
Yes, in a vision. I saw him.
And he spoke to you?
Yes, he spoke to me. He said
that... Be careful, Sister Colette. Be very careful, lest the Inquisition should hear of your awful presumption. They do not look kindly on those who lay claim to a greater spirituality than they possess.
I trembled as I listened to the Mother Prioress, for my heart had been drawn to the tiny figure in the patched habit, and I knew that what she said was true. In my own convent, we slept between linen sheets. We decorated our walls. Nuns appeared, if they wished or not, for the recitation of the Holy Office. The order of poor Clares had indeed relaxed the austerity which their beloved foundress had prescribed, and we were living in a state of self-indulgence that bordered on sin. So as I was showing Sister Colette and Father Henri to the door, I took my courage in my hands.
Sister Colette, take me with you. What on earth do you mean, sister? I want to go with you and Father Henri. Do you know where we are going? If you do, you know better than we do. Wherever you go with God and do God's work. But God has not yet shown us how to do his work. It seems we walk in blindness.
Oh, no, it is not you who are blind, Sister Colette. It is the others who are blind and deaf too, and who speak blasphemies.
You seem to know a great deal, Sister Perrine.
I listened when you were with the Mother Prioress.
Then you know with what scorn we were received.
Only because the prioress does not know who you are.
Oh. And you do know, Sister Perrine?
I know. I know you are sent by the blessed St. Francis, and that you are doing God's work. I beg of you, let me go with you. Let me share the work.
But you know, the prioress had some right on her side.
Oh, no.
Yes, she was right. In that I am not a poor Claire myself, that I have only my vision to guide me. I have no authority but the conviction in my heart. Yes, she was right.
What's to be done, sister?
We'll go to the Pope himself, to Pope Benedict.
You would ask the Pope for authority?
What higher authority can we have? Come, Father Henri, we will fortify ourselves with the Pope's blessing. And you, Sister Perrine, when we have gained support from His Holiness, then, if you are still like-minded, you may join us.
It was 6 months before I could leave my convent to be with Sister Colette and Father Henri. But when we met, it was a joyful reunion.
Pope Benedict himself professed me. The Pope himself.
And he made Sister Colette superioress of all convents of poor Clares that she might found.
Oh, God be praised, sister.
And now you wish to join us?
Oh, yes, sister.
If you and I can work together, it will free Father Henri to return to his own friary.
Oh, I know we shall work well together.
I think so too, Sister Perrine. I think so too.
Together we went from convent to convent, through France and Flanders and Savoy. It was not easy at first. Sister Colette was called all manner of names, fanatic, sorceress, heretic. Ill will, rebuffs, and the most awful calumnies were her daily portion. Then, most especially in Savoy, she began to have some success. In 1410, the convent at Poligny became the first house of poor Claire's to receive her rule. Her fame spread to Burgundy, to Flanders, even to Spain. She founded 17 new convents and reformed many old ones. She foretold the hour of her death and died in the convent of poor Claire's at Ghent in the year 1447. Well, may they weep for her. The nobles, the poor, the monks, the friars, the nuns, the townspeople, priests and prioresses. She lived that all of them might be saved.